Welcome to the Teenage Daydream Podcast. I'm Jet.
And I'm Jen.
We are on Season 5, Episode 13 mm-hmm. of One Tree Hill. We only have 5 episodes left of this season. Yeah.
I know, weird, right?
So weird. But it is, what was it, Echo, Silence, Patience, and Grace, I think? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is a Foo Fighters song, also. Random Foo Fighter episode.
Yeah.
And none of it clicks, but whatever.
Okay, because I feel like, and we'll get into this more as we go along, but I feel like they didn't, like, write this episode and then go, I wonder what song we can use as the title, but more the other way around, where they, like, grabbed the title.
Oh.
And were like, how do we turn this into an episode?
Absolutely. Pay attention now, because I'm assuming in the wrap-up episode for award season, this might be the worst episode.
It might.
Unless something happens in those last 5 episodes.
Something truly heinous would have to happen.
And it's not even like, it was all information and stuff that we needed.
Yeah, but it was, first of all, it was boring.
So boring. And the, like, jump cuts aren't the right word, but like the dialogue,
yeah,
like mirror cuts,
yeah,
I guess. Oh
yeah. hated it. And like, it's literally just an episode of talking,
and everyone was separate basically. Yeah. Or at least in their little like separate groups.
Yeah,
which is always a hard episode because mm-hmm. the whole point of this is these people together.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went from a wedding episode where the bride ran out during the ceremony
mm-hmm.
and a crazy person kidnapped a small child
mm-hmm.
and an ex-con saved the child.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then this episode is just like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, they were like, we put so much action into the last episode that we decided this episode would have zero action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, like, outside of, you know what? I was relatively interested in Dan, but outside of Dan, Nathan, and Haley, don't care.
Right? Didn't care about a single thing.
No. And on that note,
on that note, let's rehash the entire thing. So it's funny, too, the way this episode starts.
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously picking up pretty much where we left off, like, a few beats later.
Yeah.
It seems that after Dan has dropped Jamie off at the house, he just, like, turns around and leaves.
Well, and that was the problem, was that it was like it was too many beats later.
Yes.
Because it ended with every, you know, as we talked about last episode,
everyone's
with everyone
staring.
Going, oh,
yeah.
Oh my god, every single person looking, and it's Dan, oh my god,
yes.
He's out of prison. But then we didn't get any sort of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It was just Dan leaving. So I was like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, he like, or they told him to leave or whatever.
Yeah.
But then like Luke and Nathan just come out and start beating him up.
Yeah. Which seemed very random.
And as much as I can, like, understand it.
Yeah, like, I get it. But also, he did just bring Jamie back.
And then clearly is, like, leaving of his own volition.
Right.
And at the very least, like, a screaming match I would have understood. Like, oh my god, how did you get out? What's happening? Like, what, like, did they not want to ask him questions about how he figured out that Jamie was Nanny Carrie? And
I literally don't know. I literally have no idea what this was supposed to be about. Like, what's this for?
The only thing that it set up was that Jamie is clearly, like, Team Dan now, because he keeps calling him Grandpa, and he's not scared mm-hmm. of him anymore. And he was like, you know, like, says thank you. And Jamie's like, or Haley's like, let's go. But, yeah. It was weird.
Yeah. Extremely.
Especially because then it also all of a sudden it's like 4 weeks later.
Right. Then we get a month long time jump.
So like, had it ended there,
mm-hmm.
Right? Like, Dan brings Jamie back. They all stare and gasp. Somebody screams. Dan leaves. They try to fight him. Jamie says thank you again. That is the end of the episode.
Right.
Anyways,
Yeah, it's weird.
whatever.
And then, like, that's the most that happens all episode.
And because, yeah, and it was clearly like filmed the episode before.
Right. Because, like, when we jump into 4 weeks later, it's Haley and Nathan at therapy. So they're obviously going to couples therapy, and she's just talking about how, like, she's having trouble letting Jamie, like, be on his own now. Like, she's being overprotective after everything. And I'm like, you know what, girl? I think you've earned that.
Totally.
And then, like, the therapist wants to talk about them, like, as individuals, out, like, not, like, you know, the unit of Nathan and Haley, but, like, who are they as people outside of their marriage, basically? Or,
Yeah.
like, yeah. Like, the whole episode just kind of, like you were saying, those, like, mirror cuts where, like, someone is asking a question. Like, so she's asking, like, who are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then we cut to Brooke talking to the social worker to try and start the adoption process.
Yeah.
So then, like, Brooke saying, telling about herself. Like, I just.
I know. I know. It was, and like that first time, I was like, oh, okay, but then it just kept
It just kept
happening.
doing it. Like, if it had been, if it had just been the beginning of the episode, I would have
Yeah.
forgiven it.
I feel like, aside from like the stupid jump cuts, which are really annoying, because we don't
Yeah.
need to talk about them anymore. I think we kind of just have to go like person by person.
I think that's fair.
Right?
That's
Like, I don't
actually
really
a,
have it
yeah,
marked,
that's
but I think
no.
otherwise it's going to be like even
No,
more
that's a good
disjointed
idea.
than
I
the episode
agree. Because
was.
it does feel very disjointed because you're just jumping around from person to person. And it's literally so we've got the whole entire episode is Haley and Nathan in their therapy session.
Yes.
Brooke talking to this social worker for her
Yep.
assessment. Andy and Lucas talking. There's a little bit of something else with Lucas at the end, but, like, that's the
Yeah.
bulk of it. And then Peyton talking to Max for inexplicable reasons.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's the entire episode.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be some kind of like deep, meaningful something.
Right. Well, because, okay, so, like, the title of the episode, Echoes, Silence, Patience, and Grace, like, they actually, I don't know about echoes, to be honest,
True, yeah.
but they definitely talk about silence.
Yeah.
Like, definitely talk about patience. And Peyton definitely mentions something about grace.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is too on the nose. Like, I'm annoyed now.
Agreed.
Okay, so what order are we? Do we want to start with Nathan and Haley?
You know what? That's actually the only good one, so no. Let's.
Okay, that's also what I was thinking. I'm like, should we save them for last because they were the only ones that were actually worth, like,
Yeah,
listening
let's
to?
go Brooke, Lucas, Peyton, Naily.
Okay, so Brooke has a woman over at her house. She's a social worker from, I guess, like, I don't know, an adoption agency, or, like, I don't actually know how it works.
Yeah, at some. Yeah, I don't. I mean, to be fair, I don't think how this was working is how it works. But I feel like she's a social worker, but she definitely worked for the adoption agency because, like,
Right.
at some point someone says something about, like, that. But yeah. It's just. And Brooke just keeps talking about, her clothing line. And, like, every time Brooke is trying to do that, like, sort of overconfidence, bravado thing. Which like has its place in certain places, but like not here, because it's, she makes some sort of comment about like it's clothes over bros, but like really it's not, and like,
Yeah.
or then just says something about like do you like you're 22, do you own your own home, are you sexually active, and Brooke's like, well, not as much as I'd like to be, I mean, she keeps doing that little like
Yeah.
nervous kind of joke type of thing where like, and even that kind of got boring.
Right.
And like
Like,
she says something about like drinking because she like the social worker like saw the she has like a
The
little
bar, yeah.
bar, and then she like talks about how like, oh well, like you know, like Peyton, like she just blah blah blah, and you're like, it was just
I know, I know. I know.
all I wrote down for that first one was just like, Brooke is not reading the room.
Yeah, she's not.
I think when, yeah, when she, they start talking about Peyton, she's like, she can move out. And you're just like, oh my God.
Right? My God, what even else even happens with Brooke?
Well, because obviously, like, a social worker is taking notes. I know I'm trying to, like, look for my
Yeah.
little, like, bees along the way here. And she's just like, oh my God, like, what are you taking notes for? And then it's just, like, her phone keeps ringing too. And so she keeps, like, putting that away. And apparently, the social worker had talked to, or like asked why she wanted to be a mother. And of course, was just like, you know, and actually, like, good answers, like loving, stable environment. The social worker asks, did you have that? And she's like, no. And like, they kind of have that whole, like, you know, like, were your parents together? And she's like, yeah, they were together, but they weren't there. And then she starts listing off Brooke's exes.
I know. What the hell?
It was so
It was
weird
weird.
in the
It was
sense of
weird.
like, that doesn't really come up on a background check. Who you dated in
No.
high school.
I mean, the thing is, we do find out that the reason she has this information is she has talked to Brooke's mother.
Yeah.
Which obviously is going to be terrible.
Yes. Well, and because, and Brooke too keeps saying, like, because she's done all this research of, like, oh my God, this is. On average, most women have their first child at 25.
Jesus. Right?
Now it's like maybe 35.
Right? Absolute madness. 25. 25. 25.
Yeah, and like the social worker is accusing her of, like, okay, so you know, like technically you were with Lucas and like this just, you know, his whole like wedding debacle happened and like maybe you're looking for love elsewhere too. And she's like, where did you, like, wait. Like, where did you get this information from? And that's when we learn that it's Victoria. And you're just like, oh my
I mean, the funny thing is, like, the social worker is wrong in the sense that it's not about Lucas,
God.
but she's right in the sense that Brooke is looking for love somewhere else.
Yes. Absolutely. And again, she just kind of keeps bringing up, like, again, like, because I guess Brooke had like 17 phone calls, and that's when she's like, oh, well, like, did my mother tell you that I fired her? And she's like, well, yeah, but technically, doesn't that mean that you're gonna have like more work to do? Because like, usually we expect people to take like 6 months off, where it's like a two-parent household, so you can kind of like
Yeah, share the.
divide it back and forth, and you're just like, oh, this is just getting worse and more awkward.
Well, and then, like, at that point, Brooke knows. Like, this hasn't gone well. She's not going to be recommended. And then she tells, ends up telling her, like, the social worker as she's leaving, about what her mother said to her when she told her she wanted to start her own company. And her mom was like, it's one in a million. And Brooke's like, what if I'm one in a million? And her mom said, you're not.
I was so torn in all this because, like, then Brooke like gives her whole speech of like, I'm gonna be that one in a million, like you're gonna find out that you're wrong. There's gonna be that special kid, and I'm gonna give them everything, this and that. And, like, everything she's saying is like exactly what you would want someone who's adopting or going to be a foster parent or like all those things. And like, she just want to do it, but then the whole time, because of course she keeps talking about her, like, I've had an accelerated life, blah blah, and you're like, get out of here. I'm just like, 22.
22.
I agree with, like, I don't agree with the social worker talking about the whole like two parent and like whatever, that kind of like classic family
Agreed.
traditional blah. But she kept bringing up her age, and I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's valid. The age thing is valid. 22, 22, 22.
And if it was some kind of something where like her whole life she worked in daycares and worked with kids and had experience with, like, you know, like maybe her family had had foster kids, so like she had always been around that and she wanted to be part of that, and that was like she studied relevant things
Right.
in university or like
Yeah.
something, then I would be like, okay, fine, yeah, like start a little Brooke's little kind of, you know, foster care house, halfway, whatever kind of
Yeah,
family
totally.
misfit situation at 22, fine. But she didn't. And not that I don't think Brooke would make a good mom, but 22.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
It was just too much.
Yeah.
But somehow, not as bad as the others.
Oh, truly and sincerely. So, yeah, so that's all Brooke's thing, right? Like,
I mean, at the end.
We'll talk about the end montage.
Yeah, at the end, yeah.
Yeah. Did we talk about Dan?
Oh, that's who we forgot about. That's who we forgot about. Yeah, we can talk about Dan.
Okay, because so Dan, obviously Dan's out of prison, so we get just like this little bit with his parole officer, or his caseworker or whatever.
The guy says, himself. He says case manager, but I was like,
yeah,
clearly it's parole case manager. Like,
right, because he's like giving him the rundown on like, you know, like what he's allowed and not allowed to do and like, you know, finding legitimate work. And like he gives him an envelope full of the money that the state owes him for work that he did while he was in prison, which I was like, they do that?
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
I did that. I mean, it was literally like $700 a year or something. And I'm assuming they were probably actually working like 40 hours a week.
Yes. But like Dan's trying to talk to him about Jamie. Like he has a picture of him and he's like wants to tell him about his grandson. And this guy's like, I don't, this is not what I'm here for. Like, take your money. Here's your rules. Be gone. But instead Dan is like, here's the money back. I'm paying you to talk to me now. And starts like telling him all about Jamie. Which is then when we find out that Dan has been visiting Jamie at school.
Yes.
So he like on the other side when Jamie's like out at recess. Dan like talks to him through the fence.
Yeah.
And it's like their little secret, and
yeah.
Then he threatens a small child, basically being like, "If anybody goes after that kid," I'm like, "Whoa, man! Like, there's no evidence that Jamie's being bullied. Maybe we can have some chill."
Yeah, like in any way.
Like, this has not been a thing at all. There's been zero indication that Jamie's having any trouble with any of the kids at school. But Dan, full blown, is just like threatening small children. Which, I mean, sure, I guess.
Yeah.
That tracks.
But yeah, so again, it was just kind of like, we're moving Dan a bit forward.
Yeah.
He, you know, has to get a job, blah, 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 whatever. He is talking to Jamie, so we know that that's something. And, you know, I think he said to the guy, like, I'm going to be the one guy who, like, doesn't end up back in prison in a year, blah, 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 whatever. And you're just like,
This guy is very skeptical about it. And also is like, I can't take this money. Please take it. And Dan's like, I'm not taking it. Give it to charity. I'm like, oh my God, you guys.
Well, and it's in, like, and he even said, how did he put it too? Like, you know, like, I paid my debt to society, or like, the state doesn't owe me. Like, but, like, in some sort of way that does kind of seem like redemptive.
Yeah.
But, like, also, like, but is it a bribe? I don't know.
Right? Which is why, obviously, this man can't take this money. He's like, I can't have this. Like, take it away.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And that, like, probably never happens. Like, who on earth is out here getting out of prison and being like, no, I don't want that money?
Well, and that's just it, right? Because, like, you have to... I mean, usually I think they help you find an apartment at the very least.
Mm.
Or at least some sort of, like, shelter situation.
Right.
But then, yeah, like, you have to actively show that you were trying to get a job.
Right.
AKA, because you ain't got no monies.
Right.
So, like, why would you not take the $3,400 or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Like, I don't know where, like, Dan thought, like, or where Dan thinks he has money.
Right? Because, like, from everything I understand, it's all Deb's money.
Yeah, and, like, even if he had his, like, I guess he probably had some, like, mayor money, but then Oh, he kind of got fired from that. But I mean, I
Right?
guess he could have had like my like I don't know how prison works. Like, okay, so if I have money in my bank account like today, right now, there's money in my bank accounts. If I went and crimed and then got out in a year, is my money still just in my bank account? Like I can just start using my debit card again?
I'm assuming so.
So, because I mean, he has had like a vehicle this whole time.
True. So like I guess he still has all of that stuff. I don't know how this
Yeah.
works, to be honest with you.
I guess it probably depends on like what your family and like the people around you do, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Because if maybe they, like, everyone's just gone off and done their own thing, they just kind of like left his stuff somewhere. I don't know. Anyways.
I don't know either.
But yeah, so Dan is either starting his redemption tour or playing everybody. Unclear.
Very unclear. Yeah.
Because, like, I want to believe he's being genuine with Jamie.
Yeah, same.
Because, unlike Nanny Carrie, I think that would be, like, his line of, like.
Yeah, I do actually think he is being genuine with Jamie.
And I think, like, that's kind of where. But using Jamie and that genuineness to then wiggle back with everybody else.
Correct. Agreed.
So, like,
Yeah, just
not.
because he's being genuine with Jamie doesn't mean he's not going to use that to his advantage.
Yeah, he's not manipulating Jamie like Nanny
Yeah.
Carrie was, but technically he is going to use him. Yes.
Correct.
Agreed.
Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how that's going to go down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, the whole. I do not understand the point of Peyton, any single word that
Oh
she says.
my God.
Especially because we kind of get like a backward, like a forward and a backward. Because she's talking to someone the first time we see her
Yes.
about how her mom used to
Oh,
sing
that's
to her,
right.
and it was, you know, it's the
Yeah.
silence, and then like when her mom died, like everything was just gone, and that's where it gets because she says something about silence, and then it cuts to Andy and Lucas, and they talk, they say the word
Right.
silence,
Right.
but you see as the camera's panning as she's giving her like monologue on. I'm assuming mom number one. I'm being a bitch. I'm sorry.
I'm also assuming that.
You see, like, what looks to be like a man's shoe, like his leg crossed over his
Yes.
leg, you know. But then, is it like. Well, and then again, there's some kind of like. She's talking like she wants to believe again, something about believing in the
Yeah,
music
in
and like wants
art
to
and
be on the right
music and
path,
blah, blah,
whatever.
blah.
But then we see her at the record store.
Yeah.
And it's empty, as if it's
Yeah.
being closed. And then she leaves a note for Max, who we've seen like maybe in like one or two episodes in
Oh,
like
yeah.
season one,
Yep.
I want to say. And we do also see that there's a for sale sign on her car, but she leaves him a note. But then he comes to the like to the record label with the note. So like were those first two scenes that we saw Peyton were like. After, right? Which then again also made
Yeah,
this
it's weird.
episode more confusing because no
Yeah, I
one else was
agree.
having those back and forths.
Right. And also, like, why are they trying to, at the beginning, hide who she's talking to? Like, I just,
Yeah.
why? I don't understand.
Especially then to go back
Right.
and then to show us. Like. I don't know why it had to be a secret
Right.
instead of just having the record store scene first.
Yeah.
Because then I would have been immediately intrigued because, okay, she's fine. The record store's closing. I was like, ooh, like, would she be, is she gonna buy it? And then you see that her car's for sale. And that, I was like, whoa, the car's for sale.
Right?
But then I just ended up getting confused because we time traveled.
Yeah, it's weird. It's for sure weird. Yeah.
And I don't know. They start talking. He's closing the store. Nobody's like buying physical
Yeah.
music anymore. LOL. I mean, hey, it's kind of swung back around now, so.
It has swung back around. I mean, books kind of did the same thing for a hot minute, so yeah. The record store is back, baby.
Yeah. And well, I don't know. Like, she talks about something about like she's disappointed in herself, or I don't know.
Honestly, I paid so little attention to
Oh.
every time Peyton and Max were talking.
She also talks about, because it's the echoes of what things used to be. That's what it was. The echoes, yep.
Oh, seriously, somebody took this title and was like, gonna turn this into an episode.
And I don't know, he says something about, like, yay, Mia, like, your label,
Yeah.
you're changing things for people, blah, blah. When was the last time? But they kept making jokes about how he, like, was 36 and still living at home with his
Yeah.
mom.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay. And then also, it was so weird because, like, for him to be 36 and then, like, her be 22, but then, like, they
Right.
both still look older than us right now. Or, like, not like look older, but, like, feel. I don't know.
No, I know what you mean. I was like, oh, 36, that's me.
Yeah. But he, like, asked, like, when was the last time you drove your car with, like, the top down and, like, the stereo
Yeah.
blasting? As if that's supposed to be some kind of, like, you know.
Right. Well, even like he asks her about Lucas, and I'm like, does she talk to this man about Lucas before? Like, how does he have this information?
Well, and, like, that's my other question is, so, okay, fine. I'll even give you, like, seasons 1 to 4, the whole time they were in high school. Although, again, basically once she met Lucas, she stopped going to the record store. Or once
Right?
Chris Kelly came into the picture, she stopped going to the record store. But then she left for LA.
Right.
And if she wasn't talking to her best friends,
Right.
she wasn't talking to that fool.
Right.
So, like, I understand why she left a note, because she went to the record store and saw that it was closed. Although the door was open because she walked in.
Yeah, she did walk
So that kind of felt a little looty.
in.
But, like, that I would understand. Okay, like, this
Right.
place, right? Because she's still trying to find herself. So she went back home. She's going back to the record store.
For sure.
Leave him a note, absolutely. But, like, not in a way that you guys would have this, what is, I guess, supposed to be the deepest life conversation.
Yeah, this is what was weird to me, is like we've had no indication at any point that they have this kind of relationship. And then all of a sudden, yeah, they're having this like deep, profound conversation about life, and I just wasn't buying it.
I would have bought this had she just been in the cemetery talking to any of the dead people of her hill.
Right? Honestly.
Right? Like, even if she was hopping between moms and Keith or whatever,
Right?
it would have made more sense.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I know. I know. Anyway, that's all that really happens with those two.
Yeah. Then, yeah, there's kind of like the little bit at the end, but we'll get to
Yeah,
that.
we'll get to that.
Yeah, it was so weird. I
It
don't
was
know.
very weird. It was, I also just like truly and profoundly didn't care.
No, and because it was like, you know when someone says something that's like so profound and it's amazing and it's like this moment and everyone's like, oh my God. Or when someone's trying to say something profound and like, on paper, yeah, sure, okay, totally cool, I get it. But because it's like, as soon as you tell me that this is important and I should listen to it, I'm like, nah. And so it was just, yeah, like, it was, you know, like, all the times we talk about, like, with Lucas, that, again, on paper, great. And, like, this, like, Peyton's still trying to find herself. Yeah, I get it. But, like, it was just, yeah, I,
Yeah.
this episode is just not happening.
I agree. I completely agree.
And again, because,
Not the vibe.
as much, I mean, I guess the Peyton situation almost makes more sense than Brooke's, because Peyton's trying to figure out her life again.
Right.
And, like, she wants to change things. She was disappointed in herself. She's thinking about how things used to be, thinking about her mom. Like, that stuff does kind of play into being a 22-year-old.
For sure.
So, like, that I will buy. Whereas, like, Brooke's stuff, I'm like, no.
Yeah, with Brooke, I'm like, girl, calm down.
But
You have so much time.
the delivery of the Peyton stuff
Yeah.
just felt too pretentious. Like,
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah,
I need new words for pretentious, because I just, like, yeah.
yeah,
It was just,
yeah. I agree.
especially because, like, I got so confused because of, like, the weird time jump. And then when she went into the record store, I was like, oh my God, does she buy the record store? That would be so cool. She doesn't.
Nope. She does not.
So I was just like so disappointed.
I know.
But in regards to Mr. Schwan, Max,
Ugh.
apparently the reason that this was written, the reason that it was Max, which the girls talked about on their podcast, was in real life, Hillary was not speaking to him.
Are you serious?
So he wrote this. Yeah.
Just so that she'd have to talk to him?
On a podcast with fellow One Tree Hill actresses, Hilary Burton said that series producer Mark Schwann wrote himself into the episode because she wasn't talking to him in real life. Sophia Bush called what Schwann did psychotic.
She's correct. I hate this episode even more now.
I know. Speaking of things we
Wow.
I know. This is just
Unbelievable.
too much and too
Ugh.
wild.
Gross. Gross.
Super gross. And 'cause like he's not an attractive man. So if he was trying to like, get with the girls or whatever he was doing, he does look like someone who would be 36 and
Yeah.
living in his mom's basement.
Right. Also, I hate that. Oh God, I hate that even more now that he's been like that he wrote himself in as this like self-deprecating like character who's supposed to be like a nice guy. Like, get out of here. Ugh.
And also, it's like,
Gross.
as much as he's probably like been in stuff, like you're not an actor, dude, right? Like,
Yeah, you can tell.
yeah. And then we
Damn.
learn, so
Yes.
through one of the lame jumps of some sort of word repetition,
Yeah.
Lucas has been traveling on the boat
Yeah.
with Andy, Karen, and Lily. We did not get to see Karen. That was disappointing.
That was disappointing.
Because, like, all this life talk stuff kind of would have made more sense if it was coming from Karen.
Yeah.
And then if Andy, like, jumped in at the end being like, I got a
Right.
PJ if you want to fly to New York. Like,
Right.
but it was just Andy trying to, like, drop the wisdom. And I was like, I like you, Andy, but this is, again,
Yeah,
so
agreed.
weird.
Agreed. It was very strange. It was very strange. It's weird, weird, weird episode. God, I hate it so much. It's also just like hard to talk about. Like,
No. So whatever, they're traveling wherever they're traveling on
yeah.
that supposed boat that
Okay,
they
and
traveled.
my other question about this is like, are they not in the middle of basketball season? So did Luke just like,
They played that first game and he was like, I'm out, guys.
I'm out, skills, you got this, right?
Yeah, it's all skills now. I mean, I guess skills and Nathan could probably like cover.
I mean, they could, but
But
like,
yeah, slightly irresponsible.
okay. Like, even I could give him even 2 weeks, right? Like, I get it. You got left at the altar. That's not great. Maybe you need a couple weeks to pull yourself together. Understandable. A month, though, bro?
You don't have a job, dude.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Moving on. Yes, him and Andy. Again, I did not pay super close attention. Look, they're just basically talking about Lindsay, right? Like, you know, Andy's kind of trying to like get him out of obviously this funk that he's been in, right? Like, you need to get back to your life. Like, you need to get out of your head. Like, if you want Lindsay back, like, do that. But like, you actually have to talk to her, like, tell her that you're still in love with her, like, convince her of that. Otherwise, like, you're not gonna, nothing's gonna come of it.
I just wanted to be back when life had meaning and purpose and direction.
Gross.
You're 20 fucking two.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to have any of those things.
Right.
She said my heart was conflicted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it is.
Right. Well, it's so funny too, because then like his Luke is like talking about the comment. Was he makes some stupid comment about like, good thing the guy didn't see a white Bronco, or they'd say I was in love with OJ or something. I couldn't.
That is what he said, because I was like, an OJ reference?
Yeah. Right?
Because
I know.
Because that would have been like. That it was just so, like, not.
Current?
Relevant?
Yeah.
Like, 1994?
Right.
To 2008?
Yeah.
Like.
Right?
Yeah. Way to go, Lucas. But again, like, Andy's like, you know, go see her, whatever, on a private jet. And then, like, Lily comes out and she had a dream about Keith.
Yeah.
I had a dream about my dad. Which, again, absolutely. She should know that that's his dad, but, like, her dad. But, like, you're not, you don't know him.
Yeah, I know.
But he said you were going to be so great or something. I don't know, like.
Yeah, she some said kind of everything's like going to be okay or something like that.
And again, we love Keith.
Oh, I know.
Hundo. But, like, all of these people having these dreams about Keith and seeing Keith, and Keith would say this and Keith would do this. Oh, my God.
I know.
Keith is on the other side being like, you all need to move on. Not even move
let
on,
me rest
but just
in
like.
Hate. Let me rest in peace, guys.
Back up or something. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So obviously, Lucas goes to New York.
Obviously.
And like Lindsay walks into her office and he's in there.
Yeah.
And where the Lindsay does make a comment being like, oh, I heard about Jamie. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are being busy and selfish. No, I'm kidding. But like, he like throws his book at her and is like, I owe you this, but I'm not going to publish it. And she's like, yeah. Then it just got into, like, Barf City.
Yeah, agreed.
Because, of course, she's like, no, like, it's, you know.
It's too good not to publish.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't care about the advance, but, like, you have to publish it. And, like, I miss you and blah, blah. And, like, okay, fine, I'll do it. But only if you edit it. And then, of course, he, like, quotes the thing that we had seen when they flash back to, like, when they first met. And she was like, it was so stupid. Because it was like, it's going to be long nights and, like.
Yeah.
Bickering, and it's gonna be like we're married.
It's gonna be like we're married.
So he quotes that back to her, and I was just like,
I know.
Ugh.
Yeah, right?
Just.
Gross. Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Just not like
yeah,
it.
No. Same. Like I said, not the vibe. Not the vibe.
Yeah. Dislike.
Agreed. Dislike strongly.
Stupid.
Yeah.
And then I think that's it, right? Yeah, because we see him
I
like,
think that's
in
it,
kind
yeah,
of like
I
the
think
end montage, but that was
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. See, this is what I mean. Like, nothing really happens in this episode.
No. Literally not.
Okay, so then we get to Nathan and Haley.
Yep.
Which is the only part of the episode, truly, that, like, where anything actually important happens.
Yeah. Because they're, like, working to actually better and figure out their life.
Yes. Yes, they're, like, actually, like, working on their relationship, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like in a really good way too, where like their therapist seems good. because she's just like talking to them about like at the beginning she's talking about like who are you guys as individuals, like outside of your marriage, outside of being parents, like who are you? You know, and like asking sort of like what they want from everything. And like Nathan's talking about he wants his family back. He wants Haley to trust him again. And like Haley wants to believe in Nathan again and like wants her son to be safe and like be, you know, whatever. And like they just have like really good conversations about, you know, like Nathan acknowledging that he's stubborn and he has a temper, has a temper. And like,
Oh yeah,
she talks to them.
I really like that, like specifically like that exact part, 'cause he's saying it, like he's like, "Oh, I have this and I have this." And he kind of says it like, you know, Haley forgives me and then I changed, and it's almost like I'm screwing up to then have her forgive me so I can like figure out how to change again. So in that way of like he's on like it just felt like such a breakthrough moment for like him to have this like, 'cause as soon as he said that, I was like, "Oh, that, right? Like we learn to do certain things because of a certain outcome." So like sometimes you do bad things to then get that good out, you know? And I was like, "Oh, Nathan, yes."
Yeah, I know. Right? Insight into his motivations. Well, 'cause then he like he they do like a little callback where he like talks about the time he took the drugs to try and like improve his basketball game and how he went to Haley to see if she could forgive him and like how that, yeah, it was really good.
Well, and even the therapist calls out too, like being like, when was, how did she put, like, you know, when did you feel like the most accomplished? And he was like, you know, when he plays basketball, and like, when did you get that real support from your dad? Or like, you know, then you were getting like the praise and adoration, because he was talking about like why he maybe liked Nanny Carrie flirting with him. And it was like these reasons of things. And I love because like Haley made some comment. She's like, "I guess I should just like swim naked." And there was like, yeah. Like you guys are, speaking of, you guys are 22. You're supposed to be young and foolish.
Do something young and stupid together.
Yeah, and Haley's like, "Oh, like we've been married for almost 6 years, like our son's almost five," and she's just like, "And? Like, but you're still young. Like, you have your whole life. Like, do these things." And you're just like, "Oh, man."
Well, and there's a whole good conversation too where like Haley's like not sure if Nathan wants the same things from the marriage as she does anymore and like if he still actually finds her attractive and wants her. And then like how Nathan has that whole thing about like, you know, you don't look at me that way anymore. Like, you know, and he's like, I know why. Like, you know, I didn't give you much reason to for a while and recently, but like that also was part of their problem. And then the therapist ends up saying something really good too about like when they're talking about how like why does Haley not describe herself as a musician? And why didn't Nathan describe himself as a basketball player? And they're both like, well, we don't do that anymore. And she's like, okay, but why? Like maybe the reason you aren't the people that you fell in love with is that neither of you is trying to be that person anymore. Like you kind of just walked away from those passions and things that you love.
Yeah, it's not like that they've changed in that sense of like, you know, you're not the man I fell in love with kind of a thing. But it's, I'm not the person that I was when you fell in love with me. Like, and because, you know, Nathan makes some quip about like, you know, like my spine was crushed. Like, people don't come back from that. And she's like, okay, but like, couldn't Nathan Scott come back from that? And you're like, yeah, he can. Yes. Yes.
This therapist is
She was
she's great.
so
So good. She's so good. I was like, yeah.
And just, yeah, like all these. Well, and then, like, she was like, okay, fine. Like, when we're ending the session, like, course, the literal timer goes off. I laughed so hard. I guess they always end the session with like say things that you like love about the other person. So like Haley's listing all these things, and it is very much, you know, like how much he loves me and Jamie, and like how he protects us, But I also love that shirt and how he looks in that shirt, right? Because, like,
Yeah.
there obviously there was the illusions of, like, them not being, like, physically attracted to each other.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little like, ooh, Haley, getting spicy. But
Ooh.
then, like, the timer goes off.
Yeah.
So Nathan's like, oh, womp. But then
Yeah.
they go home and they're just like,
I
so fucking cute.
know. They're so cute. Yep. Yeah.
Then, like, that kind of like starts a lot of like the end. Or, well, I guess Peyton starts the end, but their last little scene is Haley's like making her bed, like, I guess their bed. But I guess Jamie's been sleeping with Haley and like Nathan's on the couch or in the guest room. And they just kind of have that thing about like, I don't know, they're kind of talking about it and, you know, and, but then like Haley finally is like, maybe it would be nice to like not sleep in this bed and like,
Yeah.
AKA sleep where you're sleeping and like, whatever. And then I don't know, they started kissing and that was all that. Go, he starts listing off all the things that he loves about her because he didn't get a
Yeah.
chance to. And then they started kissing and then I just stopped caring because I was like, yay!
Yay. Yep. Yep. They're back.
And then
Yay.
we get the lame kind of. So Peyton takes the for sale sign out of the comment. Yay,
Yeah.
whatever.
Right.
Brooke goes to pick up Jamie. Because and Jamie's at school and has like Chester. Because he's doing
Yeah.
like
Oh yeah,
show
he
and
does his
tell.
little Chester show and tell. That's
Yeah.
cute.
And like talks. There's one point where I think he's talking about like who his best friend is and stuff like that. And
Yeah.
it's not Nanny Carey anymore, but maybe it's Skills or Brooke or
I love when
Chester.
he's explaining why it's not Nanny Carey anymore, and you can see the two teachers in the back kind of like exchange a look like, you gonna let this kid tell this story?
But like Brooke picks him up and like gives him a super hug. So like this is where we're like, oh, okay, so like Brooke's getting her emotions up by hugging Jamie.
Yeah.
We see Dan watching,
Yeah, like a creeper.
obviously.
Absolute creeper.
And that's actually when it goes to Nathan and Haley because then Haley's like small
Yes.
steps, letting Brooke hang out with him, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we see like Peyton driving. And so I laugh so hard because the whole thing that Max said was like, you know, with like the top down and the stereo blasting, and it's literally like the calmest, quietest song that's like this,
Yeah.
it's on the not coming out of the car, it's like the soundtrack, so like, but it was just so like this is not the like powerful moment that it feel
Right.
like it's supposed to be.
Right. I know.
Then I don't know, Lucas comes home,
That's
Lindsay
it.
looks at his book,
Yeah.
Peyton keeps driving. But then it's nighttime and she's at the intersection and we get a flashback again
Ugh.
to when must have been that was the first episode, right? Where
Yeah.
like he's in his hoodie and like she almost hits him with the car and they like look at each other.
Yep.
I
I know.
don't know, and then I wrote barf. Brooke and
Fair.
Jamie are like playing and running around.
Yeah, it's cute.
Haley's playing piano. Ooh. While Nathan's like tossing a basketball around. Ooh. But of course, like, he doesn't have a top on. She doesn't have pants on. We're supposed to assume that
She's
they
definitely
have.
also wearing his shirt.
Yeah. They have coitus.
Yes.
And there's some kind of.
Coitus.
There's just, like, the grossest quote, which apparently is
Ugh.
also, like, might have something to do with, like, the series end. But it's just, like. And of course, it's cutting between each different person saying it. And, like, make a wish and place it in your heart. Something, something. Do you have it now? It can come true. Blah, blah. You might get what you're wishing for. Something. The world is magic. Believe it with your heart. Blah, blah. I don't even
Yeah,
like.
I know. I know. That was basically my reaction to it as well, and why I didn't really listen to it that much.
What a garbage episode.
Oh my God, I hated it so much. I hated it so much. I was bored the entire time. The only stuff that was remotely interesting was what was happening with Nathan and Haley.
Because we wanted them to work it out, and they're, despite being 22, the only
Yeah.
people who are being grown up in the way that we want them to be grown up, mature. I will say mature instead of grown up, whereas everybody else needs to stop trying to grow up. They were being mature and like very honest with all of their everything they said. Like there was no, like at first I was like, oh no, like is this gonna be? 'Cause sometimes you know when you have like couples therapy where like one gets really quippy or like they're just like digging at each other or but they were both just calm and open and honest the whole time. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, because they both want to fix this, like,
yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Yep.
That's it. That's the episode. It's over. It's done. Thank God. Yeah.
So, I mean, Max isn't new, but he's Mark Schwann, but we don't like him.
Correct.
The adoption agency social worker person was Judith Scott, who in my head I like specifically knew from something, but I didn't.
Yeah, she's so familiar, and yet.
And she was on like 6 episodes of like the original CSI, so like that's probably it. But then like she was on some Dexter, and then like an episode of just a whole bunch of everything. So I guess
I do think it's just like I've seen her in
she's,
other
yeah,
things.
She's just another one.
Yeah.
Well, and then same with the therapist too.
Yeah.
Haviland Morris. I mean, she was in 16 Candles. LOL.
Right?
But then like on one episode of like every show ever.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like most annoying character goes to the episode.
Yeah, that's yes, 100%. That is what I had written down. Most annoying in this episode.
Yep. And for the new category of, but you're 22.
Yeah.
I think that just goes to Brooke. Just
yeah, 100%.
In general.
Yep. Yep.
Nothing specific. Just
nope. Just Brooke. Yep. No specific moment. Just Brooke's entire thing right now. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a quote of the episode?
I didn't really.
That happens. That happens. I had one, and it was the therapist, actually. What was her name? Like Olivia or something?
Yeah, I don't know what her name was.
But it was just that maybe you aren't the people you fell in love with because neither of you is trying to be the people you fell in love with.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good one.
And that good. Just kind of... I mean, it also kind of rings true to just about everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you kind of just, like, think about that. And I think I just really liked it because, again, it wasn't in that sense of, like, trying to change anybody or someone changed, therefore, I'm not in love with you anymore. It was personal, like, you guys have lost yourselves individually.
Yeah.
Therefore, it seems like your marriage is falling apart. Like,
yeah,
exactly. That's not actually...
Yeah, like, you're not in love with each other anymore, but neither of you has been trying to, like,
yeah,
be your own person, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Did you have a song of the episode?
I didn't really, because I wasn't really paying attention to the music.
Well, the only thing that I noticed throughout the episode was that there was kind of... always music, like as much as you like look at the thing and like there's different songs listed, it was just almost like a constant background. So again, it took away from it because it wasn't like, oh my god, this song, just like we said, like, so the end montage song is the Foo Fighters song that I didn't clock at all.
Me neither.
And I think just because the episode was so bad and the montage was happening,
I mean,
I was too distracted by what was actually happening in the montage, and I was just like,
that's,
ew.
That's fair. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But now it's over. Hopefully we can move on. Maybe the next episode's a little bit better.
One can only hope.
Oh, I think someone comes back to Tree Hill.
Yes.
Ooh.
Finally. Is it who I think it is?
Well, Haley needs to find a new nanny.
Okay, yes, then it's who I think it is.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Finally. Yeah, finally, honestly. Like, what? Yeah. All right. Cool.
And yeah, I think, you know, everybody else is just... I think Nathan has something to do with basketball. Haley has something to do with music. Okay. Everybody else is still lame or whatever.
I mean,
by everybody else, I mean Lucas.
Yeah, that's valid.
Oh, man. Wow, I need some kind of... I feel like I need to do a shot to, like, cleanse my palate.
Oh, my God, for real, though, like...
Well, in all... Obviously, you know, we always pick, like, the, you know, quote-unquote worst episode or least-like episode. But in all the other seasons, like, yeah, there was the episode that I was like, oh, this one was kind of like, wah, wah.
Right.
But, like, this was the first time that I remember, like, I stopped at some point and then wrote, I, like, this is the, like, this is going to be the worst episode.
Yeah.
Like, in all those
Fair.
other ones, I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, well, you never know, who knows, whatever. But
Yeah.
I was just like, nope, this is it.
Yeah.
I can't see anything happening in the next 5 episodes
Yeah,
that's worse than
truly though.
this.
Like, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, one of the first ones where I've been like watching the episode and being like, this is bad.
It was just so slow and like it was kind of quiet because it's just dialogue
Yeah.
after dialogue after dialogue. Like, no one's moving. No one's, like, even like physically, like, there's no.
Right, like nothing's happening. Like,
Everyone's just sitting somewhere
yeah.
talking and you're like, ugh. Yeah.
Right. Peyton and Max are just sitting in her office.
Yeah.
Brooke and the social worker are just sitting in her kitchen. Nathan and Haley are just sitting in the therapist office. Like, I guess Luke and Andy kind of walk about, but it's literally like
On the
on
boat.
the right. Like, that's it. They like move locations on the boat a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like, I hated it.
Yeah, we got to see Chester. That was about the only win.
Right? Honestly, though.
Man, well, if you have all survived this episode, we will see you in a week
Yeah.
and maybe let's take some guesses as to who's coming back to Tree Hill.
Yeah.
We'll see you then.
Bye.